Did we miss a couple of slides on that? Okay. Okay. I must not have copied it right. It's okay. What the other slide said, before we begin our sermon, is the man who ruined my life died yesterday. Ruined my life. Roger Bannister, the man who ran the first 4-minute mile, 1954, May the 6th, I believe, and the man who could not spell his name correctly. B-A-N-N-I-S-T-E-R. And this may be hard for you to believe, but he became more well-known than I did, so that throughout my life, everyone spelled my name B-A-N-N-I-S-T-E-R. And I came not to hate the man, not to, well, I just won't even talk about the emotions. And I am sad that he has passed, although he was at 88 when he went. And all I will say is, I would like for you all to remember Roger Bannister, 1929 to 2018, B-A-N-I-S-T-E-R. You take that, okay, all right. Well, this year I'm going to talk about the way, okay? And I'm going to talk about the way both from the New Testament and from the Old Testament perspective, okay? And, oops, there it is. It was on there. I just put it in the wrong place. Here, I'll give you a picture of him. There he is, crossing the line. It was a big, big thing. It was before videotape, so we had to wait about 5 days for the film to get over here from England. Okay, and nobody runs a mile anymore, by the way. They all run the 1,500 meters, but he won the 1,500 meters. He was Olympic champion for that later. But anyway, there. So there you go. There it is. You can't answer back, so I'll get you. Okay, all right. You'll remember the way is how in Acts Christianity is termed. It is the most common way that Christians are talked about. Okay, here it says that Paul goes to Damascus, that if he found any belonging to the way. And if you were here last time I was here, you remember that this comes from the idea of Jesus, what he said, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And as we study this year about the way, never forget that verse, okay? Nothing in here is designed to take us away from Jesus or to make the role of Jesus any less important, okay? He is the way, but the way is also a path, a map, a choice, a goal, a group, a way of doing things, and if you get nothing else from it, that bottom bullet down there, a way of living. Okay, so that's what I would like for you to have. All right, so these are the things we're going to talk about, and this week we've got faith, and you're going, oh my goodness, no, I've heard a million things about faith. You'll say the same thing when we get to baptism. Get over it. Okay. I'm over Roger Bannister. You can get over sermons that you heard as a child. Okay, all right. I'm going to talk about faith in three different ways. Simple faith, mature faith, or you might call it complex faith, and the faith. Now, before I go here, okay, I want to let you know that I'm not saying that mature faith is better than simple faith. Okay? It's different. One builds upon another, okay? But, you know, the greatest examples that we have of faith are our children, okay, who don't understand all the ins and out of it, but understand that Jesus is their Lord. So the simple faith is a great thing. You'll remember when the apostles asked Jesus to increase increase their faith. He told them about the faith of the mustard seed. You know, you could have the mountain go into the sea. You know, you could take this mulberry tree and have it uprooted. That was simple faith. Okay? That was the beginning of faith. They didn't have enough faith. And this was, he says, if you have the faith of the mustard seed, the smallest of the seed. So I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to denigrate simple faith. It is absolutely important. It is beautiful. And I'm convinced that it's what the Lord loves. Okay. Let's talk a little about simple faith. Belief in the facts of salvation. Okay. I get that term from Alexander Campbell. That's what he called the facts. The things that are true. The things that really happen. That there's one God, the Creator. That Jesus is His Son, the Messiah. Okay, that God rewards the faithful. We can name all these things that are so important to simple faith. We probably could just call it belief. Okay, now before I go any further here, some of the facts are hard to believe. Okay, I mean we just need to accept that. Okay, we need to accept that. Some of them can't be explained rationally. Okay, and that's okay. If you're not to the point that you can believe every fact that you read in the Bible, okay? I'm convinced if you desire the simple faith, if you move toward the simple faith, you'll get to that point, okay? But, you know, people didn't know everything when they believed in Jesus. Sometimes they only knew that He could work miracles, okay? But they had a simple faith in Jesus, okay, in His death, His resurrection, His promises, who He was, what He did, okay, and important things. And then this is the Philippian jailer, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I be to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Simple faith, first step, important, okay. I read a report from a missionaries who have gone to Ireland, okay, and are trying to preach what we would call the simple gospel. And they met a woman, and she says, "You're trying to teach me to be a Christian. I'm a Christian. How can you teach me to be a Christian?" And he says, "Well, tell me about your Christianity." She says, "Well, I don't believe in God, and I believe in Jesus, but I was born in Ireland. I'm a Christian." Okay, that's not the simple faith we're talking about, is it? Okay, there is some basis in believing, and right here, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So much in that statement, Lord Jesus, okay? You get the idea of what this belief brings to us as we look at our position in relationship to Jesus. Jesus is in charge. More about that later. Okay, it's allegiance to the teachings of Jesus and His apostles, okay? You may believe in Jesus and not do what He says, and you're probably like the demons that Jesus, James talks about. Okay, it's building a trusting life, because you see, simple faith needs to be a process. Okay, simple faith needs to be a process of adding on to the things that we believe, adding on to them more trust, more allegiance, more obedience, more of all the things that the great faithful people of the Old Testament were honored for, okay, so that we move on to mature faith. And it's a realization that we hope for a reward in heaven, okay? The writer of Hebrews says this, "Without faith it's impossible to please Him, i.e. to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him." Some of your versions will say, "who diligently seek Him." Okay? And we need to believe this about God. Okay? This is one of the things that is part of our simple faith. Now, mature faith. Mature faith is not just for old people. Although, as a general rule, older people have, I don't want to say older faith, more mature faith, don't they? Okay? If everything goes as it should, we develop a more mature faith as we live the Christian life, because living the Christian life produces maturity. It produces a moving on. It produces a faith that is beyond believing or maybe worrying about believing about the facts of, of the story of Christ. It moves beyond the teachings of Jesus to the point where we realize that this faith is not just about stuff that we read in a book. Although it is, isn't it? I mean, what do we know other than what we read in the Bible? What do we know to be faithful to other than we read in the Bible? To a faith in a person. Okay. Now, I have read about Silas Marner. You know who that is? Character in a book. Okay, yeah, all right. Character in a book. I got no faith in Silas Marner. Okay, if I stop beside the road, I can't call Silas Marner up and say, come pick me up, my car has broken down. Okay, Silas Marner is not who I need faith in to come get my car that's broken down. I need faith in somebody who's really got a phone and really got a car and is going to come get me, a real person. Okay, it is so common today to talk about faith in such a generic sense that it kind of says, well, faith is good no matter what you believe in. Okay, well, that's real good until you believe into the guy who comes and gets you beside the road and robs you and shoots you and leaves you dead. Okay, that faith didn't work out that well, did it? Okay, you got to be faith in a real Savior, in a real person. Faith in Silas Marner doesn't cut it, does it? Okay, especially with y'all who didn't know who Silas Marner was. Okay, all right. Abide in me, Jesus says. And I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Stay inside of me, and I stay inside of you. This is where mature faith moves to. Okay, it moves to a point where we understand what Jesus wants and want to do it. We understand who Jesus was and want to live our lives in the light of those facts and in the light of that relationship. Okay. I'm sure all of you had wonderful mothers and fathers. Okay? I've met a few of them. Not all of them I have. But they weren't my mother and father. And I don't have the same relationship with them that I had to my mother and father. Well, Jesus, for each and every one of us, is our Savior. And our relationship with Him is that personal thing. That's what we say, personal Savior. A lot of people want to talk about Jesus as a personal Savior, like I got a personal trainer and I got a personal finance guy to handle my money and a personal trainer to handle my workout and I got a personal Savior to handle my salvation. That's not what it's talking about, is it? It's talking about somebody that is close to you like your mother or your father. I think that's why Jesus is called the Son of God. Okay, it's that familiar relationship. Okay, it's trusting in the Lord to guide and protect. So often we find people with simple faith afraid of the future. And I guess that's normal. And I think we need to maybe let people be a little bit afraid of the future. But at some point they need to realize that the future may not change, but your outlook on whether it's going to be good or bad does. Okay? You know, is it in my future to be poor or I don't want to be poor? Well, maybe the Lord wants you to be poor. Maybe the Lord wants you to be rich. Maybe the Lord wants you to do this and wants you to do that. Whatever it is, it works out. Okay. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. We're going to get back to the Old Testament. My deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I submit to you that in the Old Testament, the great people of faith demonstrated almost exclusively mature faith. Okay? Mature faith. They had moved beyond just believing that God existed. I mean, the Israelites at Mount Sinai believed God existed. I mean, they saw Him up on the mountain. And their reaction was, Moses, you go up and talk to Him. We don't want to have anything to do with Him. They were afraid of Him. Okay? But the great people of faith had a mature faith. And so when we read about faith in the Old Testament, and the word is not used very often, it's nearly always trust, and there's a great message in that, by the way, which we'll talk about in a little while, we're seeing a mature faith. Okay. It's realizing that salvation begins here and now. Have you ever had a little person come to you and say, well, why don't I just die because I can go to heaven right away? Well, that's odd thinking, I guess, a little bit, but it is not really what the Christian is called to do, isn't it? We're not called to go to heaven. We're called to do the Lord's work, and the reward is to go to heaven. Whoever believes in the Son, Jesus says, has eternal life. Not will get eternal life, not merits eternal life, not has a hope for eternal life. He has it. Eternal life for the Christian, for the person of faith, for the person in the way, for the person, as we'll get to it in just a moment, in the faith, begins right now. In fact, many of us have been living in eternal life for quite a while. Now let's talk about the faith. Okay, it's a little bit different. Okay, it's closer to the way. But before we go into it, we've got to realize that the faith is made of people who have faith. Okay, who have dependence, who have trust on God. It may be that simple faith. Maybe it's that faith that can really move a mountain. But it certainly is that faith which is called the Lord my rock and my redeemer. And let's talk about the faith. Okay. It's connecting with the faithful lives of other Christians, both living and dead. Now let's talk about the dead first, okay? I'm talking about Christians who have gone on before us. There is a great body of faith from the Bible all the way up to today of people who have been faithful, and we need a connection with those people. Okay, the writer in Hebrews calls them witnesses. Okay, well, the witnesses didn't end when Jesus came. The witnesses have continued. And maybe it's a person in your life who's gone on. And maybe it's a person that you read about. Maybe you like to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Maybe you like to read many of the things. But you need to realize that the faith is not a solo thing. Okay, it's not a solo thing, and it's not a thing limited to my lifetime. Admit it. None of us are totally convinced that when we die, the world won't end. I mean, how can I envision a world without me? Okay. Well, I have trouble with it, but I mean, I'll pick somebody out there and I can envision a world without you. Have you noticed that? That's pretty easy to do. But it's real hard to envision a world without me. Well, faith draws us to that idea that things don't end when I die, because I don't end when I die. Okay, I don't end when I die. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, Paul wrote to the Colossians, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Okay, so it's this Christianity which has existed from this point on and exists today, and we're part of it. You want to call it the stream of time? I guess it's the stream of time for the Lord's people. Okay, and we're part of it, and we need to be part of it, and we need to participate in it, and it begins with simple faith. We do a better job at mature faith, but it is there. It is the faith. We need to value the faith. I need to value the faith that I have, but I need to value the faith that you have, and I need to value the people that have at other towns and other cities, because this faith is valuable to me, and it makes me living the life of faith easier. Okay. The other thing we have trouble conceptualizing is that anybody else has had the troubles that I have had. Well, there's nothing new under the earth. And whatever it is you're going through, everybody else has. I got a bad hip, okay? And I met a friend from college days. We were at a little get-together yesterday, and he had just had his hip replaced. And we had an immediate connection, okay? I call it the limping connection. By the way, I got to tell this. His name's Mike Brinson. And he had a 13-foot ladder. And he had a 13-foot, 2-inch limb, high limb. And he got up on it with a chainsaw. Now, he didn't cut on the tree side of the limb. He didn't cut his limb down like you see in the cartoon. But he cut on the non-tree side of the limb. But he just forgot that this limb was real heavy, and when that part fell out, the rest of the limb went up, and the 13-inch limb became a 13.5-inch limb, and he went over and broke his hip, and I just laughed and laughed and laughed, and I'm sorry. He laughed too. All right, okay. Forgive me, Lord, I guess. Okay. I'll need to repent first. Okay. It's moving from faith to faithfulness. Okay, now faithfulness has two meanings here, and we'll talk about that later. But it's moving from the intellectual to the real. Okay? The intellectual to the real. If you break down beside the road and you call me and I say, I'll come get you, and then Paul stops by and says, hey, I'm here, I'll take you. If you have faith in me, you'll say, no, John's coming. If you don't have too much faith in me, he says, I'll take the ride, let's go. Right. Okay, because I'll take the ride because it's go. That faithfulness is that kind of thing. Okay, faithfulness is that kind of thing. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity and I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Prove me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your steadfast love is before my eyes, and I walk in your faithfulness. Now, that's the second part of faithfulness, okay? It's not only our faithfulness, it's God's faithfulness. It's not only our faithfulness, it's Jesus' faithfulness. Faithfulness. And guess what? Who in here is at the best at faithfulness? We have should we have to have election? Whoever it is, Ben, would you be the best for us today? However good Ben's faithfulness is, God's is better. Okay? God's is better. Ben is like all of us. He's broke down beside the road. God is like God. He's able to come get us. Okay, he's able to come get us. In the book of John, it's interesting, the Gospel of John, John rarely uses the word faith. He almost always uses the verb form of faith. To be faithful, to have faith, to do faith. In other words, he puts action into faith. Okay. And I think that tells us a little bit about something, isn't it? Faith is not something that we put in our wallet and put in our back pocket and get out when we need it. Faith is something that is part of every step we take, every thought which we have. Well, let's admit it, not of every thought we have, but hopefully of many of the thoughts that we have. Faith is part of our life. That gets back to the faith and the way. Mm-hmm. The faith is connecting with the faithful lives of other Christians. We got that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. It's achieving a maturity of faith which cannot be reached by oneself. You help my faithfulness. Hopefully, I help your faithfulness. God and Jesus help all of our faithfulness. And when God helps your faithfulness, that helps my faithfulness because that's kind of the way it goes. Okay? That's kind of the way it goes. And it kind of puts a little bit of an onus on us to be faithful because we're going to disappoint people we care about if we're not. Okay? How many of us have ever disappointed? I disappointed my mother all the time. Okay? You know, mothers, I'm sorry. That's just part of your life. That's part of being a mother. The kids disappoint you. But I hated it when I disappointed my dad. I think I only did it once. Okay, I think I only did it once. I hated it when I disappointed my dad. Okay, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust him, and he will act. Okay, trust him, and he will act. Now, that doesn't mean that he will put air back in the tire of our car if we are like John Chastain and drove his tires till they were just bald, right? Am I testifying here? You learned a lesson there, didn't you? Yeah. I mean, I had a blowout on the way to LTC because I had done the same thing. Okay? You know, that's not what the Lord does. Okay? But he will act. Okay? Our job is just figure out how he's acting because he's acting. And our job is to get out of the way and say, Lord, I want you to do this, when the Lord may want to do something else. And whatever it is the Lord wants us to do, be glad about it. And that takes a little doing, doesn't it? That takes a little doing. I am not totally happy with everything the Lord has done in my life. Okay? I'm just not. Okay? But I need to stay faithful to the Lord to realize that He's smarter than I am. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And so this added gets to other people, doesn't it? Because it's going to be visible. And we all had no people whose faith shined like a light, was as bright as the noonday. And hopefully we fed on that faith, you know, kind of plug into it, kind of get something for it. And of course, the lesson in that is we need to try to be that kind of person. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever hears my word and believes in Him who sent me has eternal life, but he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We're not talking about insignificant stuff here, are we? Passing from death unto life. Thank you.